Welcome to the Small Nonprofit Podcast with down-to-earth practical advice on how to get things done in your small organization. You are going to change the world and we can help. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and today I have a really fun episode. We've never done anything like this on the podcast, but I have Lucia Cicerone, who is a world-renowned opera singer, and she's talking to us about how to be present when we are presenting or when we are needing to establish authority and be dynamic leaders. And it's all about our physicality and voice and training ourselves to really exude confidence. And it's such a fun podcast episode, unlike anything we've ever done before. The one thing I want you to know going into this is try the exercises. You're going to see I sound silly. We are a little bit silly, but that's part of the progress. So maybe listen to this somewhere where no one else is around, where you can really find your voice and have fun. Have fun with it. So Lucia is an Italian-Canadian soprano and principal at Cicerone Consulting. She has established an international opera career singing with companies in Italy, the US, and Canada. She has sung leading roles with the Toronto Symphony, Vancouver Opera, the National Orchestra of Italian Broadcasting, the Soppletto Festival. I can't even pronounce half of these. The list goes on and on. She's also appeared in concert with Andrea Bocelli in New York and has sung live nationwide opera broadcasts on Italy's largest network, RAI Television. She holds a master's in music from the University of Toronto, as well as a postgraduate diploma from the Augsburg Conservatory in Germany. Living between Toronto, New York, Italy, and Berlin, Lucia employs her skills and discipline as a performer, as well as her international network, to coach professionals in both the corporate and post-secondary sectors. She truly embodies the artist entrepreneur, articulating the value of strategic creativity and of artists both inside and outside of the arts. It is such a pleasure to have this conversation with Lucia. Lucia, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
This conversation, I feel like, is such an interesting one and a perspective we haven't had on the podcast yet. You are an opera singer, which I love. And, you know, we're going to take your experience, and I'll say quite an accomplished opera singer. We're going to take your experience as a performer and teach people how they can build some of those performance skills, whether it's on a Zoom meeting, leading your team, presenting to a board or funder. I mean, we have to show up every day as performers, and we have to take up space and be authoritative and, you know, show our expertise. And obviously there's the knowledge part of it, but a lot of it is our physicality and how we are showing up. So let's sort of dive right in. Tell us about some of the challenges you see people face when they're not trained performers, but we have to perform.
Yeah. So a lot of what I do in my consulting work is do exactly, you summed it up quite well. Work is performance, actually far more than perhaps we think about it right now. And that's to the good, because that doesn't mean that we are inauthentic or that we are putting on something fake or some kind of, you know, false sense of character. No, this is about, as you say, using our authentic physicality and ding ding voice as an opera singer. You know, obviously I'm very concentrated on this, to communicate more authentically, more charismatically, and ultimately when we become comfortable with the ways and the skills that we have to use and that we can practice, we actually become more adaptable as well, more ready to confront challenges and specifically high pressure situations in the context, whatever that means in your work context. So that's the thing that I see the most when you talk about what are the challenges people are facing pre-pandemic. Everyone has nerves, right? And I've said this to you before, but we are hardwired, for better or for worse, like cavemen still. And a part of evolution is that when our brain mostly incorrectly perceives a threat, adrenaline rises, certain chemicals are released. And what we need to do as high performing, and especially women, mostly I work with women, and we can get to that after, we need to learn how to reroute that process. And that requires practice, that requires body awareness. And of course, part of that is vocal awareness. And then the final piece is the mental focus, mindfulness, preparedness, and coping strategies, actually, which I employ. I actually have to employ myself, doesn't matter how many performances of whatever Traviata I do. Nerves, of course they do. Adrenaline happens. That is the natural human, often, as I said, erroneous response to what our brain is perceiving in our environment. And even as you say, making a pitch, talking to a client, making a board presentation, or eventually when we return to some semblance of normalcy, of course, we're going to be making live presentations, maybe to hundreds or thousands of people. And there are skills available. It's not a mystery. What I try and tell people, and I think a lot of people struggle with, is the idea that it's not part of my character. Like, I wasn't born as an extrovert or something. So I'm never going to be able to have like what that performer over there has, when in fact, like, not at all. I have realized that aside from all the vocal technical stuff, right, I have all of these other transferable skills that can be of great use in any sector, in any line of work, because they're about, as I said, preparing body and mind to face pressure situations.
Literally, you could substitute present or communicate with fundraising. And that's our approach. And I always joke because, you know, everyone, I feel like everyone has heard this. I don't know if it's a true statistic, but like, people would rather die than public speak. Yeah. And the same, I always say the same thing about fundraising, right? People would rather die than fundraise. And it's this, and we look a lot at our neurological responses and how our brains are wired to avoid the things that make us uncomfortable and feel risky. And certainly putting ourselves out there and having that presence can feel really scary and risky. So let's talk about the body and how we can train our body to have that presence. And even some of those things that feels like we can't control the nerves, right? How can we start to actually own our responses to these situations?
So this is something that, again, I started to realize that my colleagues and I in the performing arts, and I'm talking ballet dancers and actors, and of course, opera singers or instrumentalists, these are actually skills that we have had to practice separate of my vocal technique or, you know, doing scales on a violin since adolescence, because they go hand in hand. In fact, we cannot reroute the brain. We cannot stave off, as you say, that those chemical reactions that happen, like to ask someone to open their wallet, you know, it's like the scariest thing, sort of like public speaking. I think you're totally right. And we see that a lot in the arts, that aversion, right, to relating to that donor culture. But artists have a lot to offer outside of getting up on the stage and doing the thing. And so a couple of the things I'll walk you through. Think about how often, as I said, we must prepare for these pressure situations. So one of the first things that I do is some breathing exercises. And they're, you know, extremely basic. I have silly names for them because I like part of what I do is gently try and bring people a little bit out of their comfort zone, feel a little bit silly, sometimes in front of other people, sometimes in front of their colleagues. So, because this is also part of the performing arts, this is like another thing that performers can give is like, let's just take ourselves a little less seriously when considering that I die at the end of like most of my nights of work, you know, like we can probably like chill, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so a couple of breath exercises, one being, I call it the old sniff and blow. So, and I can demonstrate it super, super briefly if it helps, but with our hands on one on our abdominals and sort of diaphragm area, stomach area, one on the lower abdominals, we can inhale really quickly through our nose and then exhale, blowing out through our mouth. Let's say, imagine the like pesky birthday candles in front of us here. So it looks like this. And what that does, I mean, that's one of many breath examples and warm-ups that I do. Immediately, we have to have some awareness of what's going on in our abdominals, in our diaphragm, the engine of breath, which usually in a day we don't think about. And why does that matter? That matters because it has to be body first, brain second. When we are confronted by a challenge, you know, usually, like I say, I call them pressure situations, we have to revert A to the breath. And if you have a mindfulness practice or a yoga practice, people are familiar with this a little bit more now. But the idea has to be that first we return to the breath, because biologically, and this isn't about woo or anything, I'm talking about like scientifically, we are lowering our blood pressure quickly. Mm. So I do some other exercises with counting and the breath. And then we move into adding a little bit of sound. So like, and raspberries, and it gets stupider and stupider.
Love it though. And we need to take ourselves less seriously.
We do. And the thing, and what I would say is, as we start with the breath, then we move to some body openings and awareness and a little bit of stretching and a little bit of movement through our shoulders, because especially as women, we need to take up more space, like physically, literally take up more space in the world. And what does that do? Immediately, human beings are programmed to pick up on these nonverbal cues. So first of all, when you inhale deeply, you take that extra couple of milliseconds to respond to a question, already power move.
Tell me, but like, it's like almost pausing before you respond. Is it the pause or the actual inhalation that's effective?
Well, what's cool is it's both.
Cool.
Because we lower our blood pressure, right? We send the signal to the body. And again, we do this out of context as well. We have a practice out of context so that when the adrenaline starts pumping, our body and brain know what to do. The feedback loop is established. And then, as I said, the secondary residual benefit is that it is a power move to take your time. Mm. The idea, when you think, and this is another thing I explain to my clients, look, picture someone you would consider to be a magnetic presence, a politician, a musician, etc., right? Why? Try and break down why are they met, specifically that it thing that's difficult to define. And actually, so much of it is that there's never this, like me, do you like me, staving off the negative self-talk, you know? It's inhaling, waiting. No, you can come, you come here. Mm-hmm. You come this way to me. I'm here owning my space, that is, and I am telegraphing some vulnerability, right? Because being open is also to be somewhat vulnerable. And we balance that with taking our time before we respond. And then the last part is adding to those practices the voice. So then we talk about, okay, as women, let's warm up. What about our chest voice?
Mm. Okay, before we dive into the voice, I want to go back for 1 second, because you're making some gestures that I want you to describe, because I think it's really important. So you're literally showing me like shoulders back, head high. How do we physically, just describe that presence that is confident and compelling, or what was the word you used?
Magnetic.
Magnetic and charismatic.
Yeah. So it's about, first of all, because we're mostly sitting for these things, right? Just feeling, again, it comes back to some body awareness. So physically taking a second, closing one's eyes, and feeling your butt in the seat. What does that do for your lower abdominals and your pelvis? Suddenly, you're sitting up a little straighter. Then there's, and this is an old thing, but I find it very effective. My first voice teacher always said, there is a string that connects from your tailbone all the way up and out through the crown of your head. And think about, that's just a visualization you can do. I mean, it's not, of course, it's not literally happening, right? But the idea that like we take a second and like there's a little bit of space between all the vertebrae suddenly. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more verticality. And then we add to that, thinking about our head weighs, give or take, the human head weighs 15 pounds, which is actually nuts if you think about that. It's like a ton of weight.
I feel like everyone knows that from Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh, that is anyways. Weird. That. Anyway, it's true though. It's like pop culture.
Yeah. Random facts.
But yeah, like, so we take this like actually quite heavy object. And again, we just take a little bit of awareness to like, hey, my neck's holding it up. I don't have to do it. The string from the tailbone, the neck holding up my head as if it were a kind of a tripod. And then my rib cage, which of course, hey guys.
Sorry, I have a kid interruption.
No, I love it. We have to own those, I feel like, more yeah. and more on these. Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
We'll look back fondly to this pandemic time. And then lastly, of course, and the piece that is really what you were asking me to describe most of all, is the idea that like our ribs up here, sort of under our clavicle, kind of breastbone area, that there is, and this is a very efficient visualization that we can do either out of context or in context, actually, that there is a shining forth and a gentle opening. I'm talking, you know, millimeters here, no forcing. And then lastly, that as we roll open up and back our shoulders with that shining openness in our chest area, that there's a little bit of air under our armpits. So like, what do I mean by that? If you just think about that for a second, bring some awareness. If there's a little bit of space under my armpits, suddenly my rib cage is a little more open. I'm sitting up a little straighter. And I'm, again, physically taking up a little more space, even if it's on a Zoom call. And that telegraphs confidence immediately, quietly, amazing. And really efficiently.
I love it. I'm like sitting up straighter as you talk. All those cues, you can't help but, you know, sit a little taller, open up that space.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say, the residual benefit among many of doing this stuff is it feels good. That's the other fun payoff for taking a little bit of time and doing a little, I'm telling you, like a few minutes a day, a few times a week when you can kind of squeeze it in. Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. It feels good.
Yeah.
Like who doesn't want to feel better in their body and feel more open and relaxed and less fatigued in your voice.
Right? Oh my goodness. Let's talk about voice then, because I think that I know when I record things, I typically find that at the end of the day, I have a much different sound than I do at the beginning of the day, where I have a little bit more vocal fry and that sort of vibration. And it just doesn't have that presence. So how do we train our voices, or what exercises can we do to help us have that vehicle for our message be heard and understood?
Yeah. And this is something, again, I've really been inspired to work with women, especially those in mostly male dominated contexts. I was just working with a client the other day who was saying she has started to become aware in working with me. Just the awareness is obviously step one and hugely transformative. that when she's in a room or a virtual room right now, you know, with her, it's 10 other male colleagues, she is subconsciously and subtly modifying, so changing the way in which she speaks in that context, whereas she would perhaps use a different vocal range. And we talked a lot about vocal tempo. So this is incredibly important for women because, like it or not, in the world, there is a perception, we have preconceived notions about what gravitas is, what charisma is, and they are often associated with the male voice. Because of course, that's just sort of fact rather than put any kind of negative association on it. Heretofore, most of our leaders have been men. So that's what we associate with power. Now we have a lot more as women, have many more options to push that envelope. And part of that is finding our own modulations. That is to say, how fast we speak or how slow, how high or how low. So where do we pitch our voice? Have we ever thought before we walk into a meeting or a presentation or a pitch?
Can you give me an example of, like, let's hear what, so speed, I think everyone understands, but let's hear that pitch and what a higher tone and a lower tone might sound like.
Yeah. So like, I think a lot of women, there's a lot more of up on the end, like almost phrased as a question. And there's a lot more airiness and a lot less breath support. Or the other thing you hear is a lot more when they are attempting to sound serious. There is a lot more fry and depression on the chords to falsely create, you know, and I'm not going to do it for any longer because it doesn't feel good. But, you know, truly, I mean, in a nutshell, those are the main things that I see. And what happens is if a voice, if a female voice especially, is too breathy or airy, or if it's too, if there's too much vocal fry, another thing, and I will say it's related to vocal fry, but not the same, are glottal stops. So if
I've never heard of that term.
Yeah. So, and this is a thing, and they're cumulative. So what happens when we're talking about getting vocally tired and lacking vocal stamina after a full day of Zoom calls, let's say, you know, a part of that is because when we have awareness of our breath, when we are allowing the breath to be the engine of the voice instead of making the vocal cords do all the work or too much work, the breath functioning properly or efficiently, the vocal cords are doing this. So they're sort of, again, I'll say for the podcast, they undulate in a regular pattern, and the edges of the cords come together softly and evenly. When we are not using our voice as efficiently, and I said things like vocal fry and also glottal stop. So that's a glottal stop. So English is full of glottal stops. So even when I just said English, that's a glottal stop. I love, you know, when we do that too often without awareness therein, we're doing this with we're forcing our vocal cords to slam together, and cumulatively, that's going to make them more tired. They're going to be fatigued faster. So the more we can bring, again, of course, like I said, it starts with the breath, but then there are vocal warm-up exercises we can do. And it's not that we have to do these every day before every meeting. That's not realistic. I, as an opera singer, need to do those.
you do, you know.
But, you know, I'm asking a very different thing of my voice than our, you know, most of the general population. So there are some vocal warm-ups that we can do to get us resonating in our sinuses, through our voice box, through our chest. And the idea is, as we practice these few warm-ups, we bring awareness to the different options. It's all about, don't you want more colors in your paint box?
Yeah, like variety.
Who doesn't want? Yeah, to be, because that is charisma. When you can, don't you want, when you really need to make that ask or pitch that product, don't you want to have even more vocal tools? And because that's what actually have. You have your voice and your face on Zoom. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, we need to employ these tools that we are not using. And even as I'm, even right now, you know, as I'm articulating myself, I am modulating my voice to make this point. I have raised my pitch. I have raised the volume, and even a little bit, I'm speaking a little bit faster to, you know, arrive at the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why not?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. It's what I'm hearing from you is it's the leveraging these tools at the right times to make the right points, right? That there's a time and place for all these different styles, but that we want to slow things down at certain points when maybe we want to make a point, or speed things up when we want to build excitement. Yeah. And again, same with the tone. So I think that's how we become engaging. I would love for you to walk us through a vocal exercise to help us prepare that range.
Yeah. So the first thing I'll say is, have you ever, you, I mean, one, this is so how it have like, consider that, you know, before you turn on your Zoom camera for the day, you resonate through your sinuses, through your skull, through your neck, through your chest. Okay. So we need to bring some awareness first to feel where we're buzzing. We're talking about optimizing our vocal production. We're talking about like where we resonate and when. So I always start, we don't have to go through the whole thing now, but I always start with a little massage of all through our sinuses. So through our upper forehead and down around through our cheekbones. And then we take our peace fingers and just get into our jaw, which people hold a lot of tension in our jaws. And then I get clients, because this is fun, because people never do it. Did you know that your larynx and your voice box, in non-biology terms, moves from side to side? Like you can move it actually. And this is just, again, bringing the awareness. So the brain goes like, oh yeah, I can bring more sound here or there, as the case may be. So first exercise, like I say, we do a little bit of a massage. It feels kind of nice. It's all very gentle. And then we do a raspberry. So first no sound, then we add some sound. So again, one hand, we want to keep the connection with the breath. The breath is the engine that is efficiently producing our sound. So one hand on a diaphragm, one hand on the lower abdominal, and we take an inhale through our nose, and it sounds like this. Really simple, a kid blows bubbles, we do a raspberry, really not revelatory. Then we add some sound to it. So we start to connect in our brain and our body the impetus that it's breath first, sound second, right? So then we add. And you look super ridiculous doing it. And it's totally worth it, I swear. And again, as you do this little raspberry, when we're adding the vocal piece, you're starting to feel some buzz in your nose, in your sinuses, through your lips and jaw and voice box and neck, right? Again, awareness piece two. Then we add, people hold a lot of tongue tension, right? And this only gets in the way of our vocal production and fatigues us faster. When the wrong muscles are employed in the wrong coordination, the tongue is a muscle, of course, it's less efficient. We use our air less efficiently. And so we make our voice tired faster. So we get our tongue out of the way. Have you ever thought or realized that your tongue extends all the way down your throat where you can't see it? This is called the root of the tongue. And I'm demonstrating that it's going down under my jaw, right down my neck. And this is hugely important to bringing some awareness and getting out of the way. It's not that our tongue does nothing. It's that we do what is most efficient in this case. So we add to the raspberry what's called a tongue trill. So then first we just stick out our tongue. Yeah, a kid.
Yeah, like I do with the kids. Okay, I'm going to do this.
Try it. Yeah.
Woohoo.
Now,
all of our listeners, do that wherever you are right now.
That's it. You're already winning. So now this time, Sin, try it again. And do it, I'm going to demonstrate, 3 times in a row so that you feel the little kick, the little engine of your abdominals and your breath and your diaphragm doing the work for you, okay? So it's like this. So there's a little kick each time. Try that for me.
Okay, wait. Like that?
Yeah, it's okay. See, but this is instructive because we like, realize...
It's like my breath is the kick.
That's right.
Okay.
You want to feel, that's why I like to tell my clients to keep a hand on the breath, because you actually can, then you start to feel the little engine doing the work rather than all of these muscles in our jaw and face and neck doing the work. Right. So, right. So then we add some sound to that. And this is where people struggle, because often we hold the root, as I said, the root, the part of the tongue you can't see. It's tricky. We hold some tension there, and therefore that corresponds to tension in our voice ultimately, right? Because of course we need our tongue to talk. So to articulate words, right? So this time it looks like this. Like a siren, right? We make little dumb noises. Do you want to try it?
I'll try it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
I
have a hard time picturing making a sound while doing that, but once you try it, yeah, it works. Yeah.
And what is it? Where do you feel that buzz anywhere specifically?
I kind of feel like it. I feel it in my cheeks, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would that make sense?
Absolutely. Here, these are your sinuses. Yeah. You're resonating in your sinuses, which is what we want. And then the last thing that I'll skip a few, but the last one that I do, again, is of paramount importance for women, is waking up our chest resonators, because probably most people have never thought about the idea that as women, because of our hormones, we use mostly our head voice to speak. Mm-hmm. Rather than our chest voice. That's just, again, how biology exists between the genders. So when we go, we warm up our chest like a gorilla. You know what I mean? Awesome. You want to try it?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just, for our listeners, literally just hitting, like, imagine Tarzan hitting your chest.
That's right.
And then like that.
Should pitch lower your voice a little lower for me. Do this. Yeah. And then the very last and the second piece of this is we do, and this is, I kid you not, I do this as a vocal warm-up. This is actually an opera. All of these are opera singer tools. It's called Big Monkey. And it sounds like this. It's just, again, the last piece of warming up the chest resonators. Chest resonators matter because, for better or for worse, we'll just circle back around. We associate these lower tones with gravitas, authority, and power. And it's not that we want to use them all the time. We physically can't because we're chicks, but we can employ it a little sprinkle to drive home a point, let's say, right? So it looks like this. We've done our Tarzan chest, and then Big Monkey, we close our mouths, and through our nose, we make the sound of a, let's say, silverback gorilla at a certain time of year. And it sounds like this. You know what I love is I'm like 100 for 100. Every single person laughs when I do that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love this. And I'm going to embrace the silly. I'm going to try it. Hold on. I need you to demonstrate it one more time.
I'm going to demonstrate it again. Now, the idea is thinking of the breath as the impetus. So you get that little kick from your diaphragm and your lower abdominals, but the sound, think about the breath shooting out your nostrils. So it's not that you really have to do very much. It's that your vocal cords, if you just have the idea of that sound without having to describe step for step, it's really a little bit intuitive, and it's just opening up our chest resonators. Okay. So it's like this, closing our mouths, inhaling.
I wish we could share this on video. Okay, here we go. Like that?
This time, can you make this face for me? Can you like pucker a little bit and close your mouth and find Can you find more gravel in your voice? Oh no, the sound cut out. Try it again for me.
Okay. Wait.
Yeah. Amazing. Now this time, do it 3 times in a row through your, so again, thinking about like that. Yeah, that's good. And then the more you practice that, the more you kind of make friends with how it feels.
Yeah.
And again, this is not something that we obsess over. This is something that we do and have a laugh like once a week. And then we find, it's just about finding millimeters, sprinkles of a tone, of a resonance that we learn. We develop the muscle memory. We actually build the new neural pathways, right? And then when it counts, when the pressure is on, we can employ the skill at the ready when we want.
Oh my God. This has been so much fun. And such a great reminder too. I think like, I mean, I do breathing exercises with my kids at bedtime. And, you know, these are skills that we need to develop. We've talked about it on the podcast before with regards to resiliency, but I really love just how we show up, the presence that we have. I'm definitely sitting a little taller thanks to our conversation, and I'm absolutely going to practice these and warm myself up before presenting, because I do a lot of webinars and I never warm myself up. So there we go. Lucio,
yay!
Our listeners learn about you and dive into this even more if they're interested.
So my company is called Cesaroni Consulting, and there is a tab there right on the homepage for corporate and professional clients, and they are welcome to have a look at our offerings. We have both team-based webinar stuff, group-based learning modules for conscious confidence, for voice as choice and mindfulness and performance psychology. And then we also, I do a lot of one-on-one private coaching sessions, again, to develop, it's about developing not only vocal and body skills, but a routine and a ritual to prepare us when it counts. So we're ready for the higher order thinking and problem solving and creativity when the moment dictates. So Cesaroni Consulting, it's www.cesaroniconsulting.com. And yeah, please check us out. Shoot me an email and let's be silly.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I hope that you actually practiced some of these examples with us. If I'm going to be silly, you can be silly too. And we'll see you next week on the podcast. Have a great day. Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of The Small Nonprofit. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and this show is brought to you by The Good Partnership. As a reminder, if you want more resources around raising more money for your small nonprofit, visit thegoodpartnership.com and download our free fundraising strategy guide. I'll see you next week.